Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Noah Hanifin. Is that how you do that?
Something like that, right?
Thursday morning, 6:03. Boomer in the Morning. Welcome. Basement Systems Downtown Studios. There's Bill. That's Corey Sarich. As we look back on a Flames game that just at the end of the season, you feel like there's just going to be too many of these games where should you have won? Not based on performance on that given night, but based on where the opponent was in standing, you should have won that game. They have now, given away six of a possible eight against the Kings. Not that you're not going to sweep every team that's below you in standing. I get that. But there was no reason to think that the Kings were going to come out and beat you last night. And I heard Derek Wills was on with you yesterday. I think, you know, if you look back to those, certainly the first two games, the game at the Dome where Doughty gets the overtime winner, and then you went into LA about a week later, or a couple, and you were so bad that Saturday night, so bad. Maybe you took them lightly. There was no reason. There was no explanation or anything. You don't take them lightly. You know where you are. You know you need the points. And you've already lost to these guys in similar fashion. It's not Jonathan Quick. It's Cal Peterson.
Did they make life easy for Cal Peterson last night?
Cal Peterson just needed to be square to the puck.
Oh.
And just don't give up a ton of rebounds.
And they talked about it on the broadcast. I mean, that's the one thing the Flames have not done a great job of the last, I would suggest, 2 months, is get to the middle of the net, get to those tough areas, that home plate area where a lot of grade A scoring chances are born. And the Flames, once again last night against a team that has trouble scoring, and you know if you have a lead, you can bury them. They did not go to those areas enough last night, and there was a couple. Obviously, the stretch pass to Gaudreau with the breakaway, he went to a tough area there. But, you know, you could probably count on one hand how many times they went to those areas of the ice. And
Here's the thing. Special teams.
Yeah.
Offensively.
Five on three.
And defensively, not good enough.
You can't lose a puck race when you're on a 5-on-3. You can't.
No, it's even more important like on a 5-on-3.
Are you doing?
How do you have no space or time on a 5-on-3? When you are the five.
And they were chopping a little broccoli out there.
It's like, hurry, get, you got to get, oh, now the puck, hurry, get, could you get, would you hurry up? As the Kings, give them credit. They outworked them, earned it. Flames earned nothing last night. Still could have found a way to at least sneak out a point, but they didn't. And, I mean, it's just, they're able to win some games, but they're not winning games with this D. They're just not. They weren't winning. They were going to have a hard time when Hamonic and Gio were in. They were giving up unbelievable, glorious chances. And last night,
I thought TJ Brody had a really good game. Can you name a time out there where he wasn't in position?
Well, he got spun by Kopitar on that one play, but I'm going to give you this. Yes.
Okay. But out of their defensemen, and you had four of them up into the 20-minute range, I thought he was the best. And then Yellison, for playing his first game and only getting 10 minutes, kept it super simple.
Yeah.
But between the other four out there, there was a lot of stuff that wasn't good for me, personally. Just, I thought Noah Hanifin had a really tough night. Really tough night. Like, again, just, I don't know, not engaged enough and not hard enough. That's the thing. Like, it's just,
is he aware enough? Like, that's the thing. Guy can skate, and I think that there is effort there. I don't think he's lazy. I think he's a good skater. I think the effort is there. He's got great ability, but the mistakes that he seems to make are the mental side. I just don't know if we're seeing maybe he doesn't think it quite as well as he needs to.
Or, yeah, again, we've talked about offense for him probably is more in the forefront. and comes more naturally. And the small defensive details, that is awareness, just what you're saying.
Yeah.
And the Kings' second goal is a prime example of this. Who's he on the ice with? The Flames' fourth line. He's out there with Ronaldo and Jankowski. Okay, they should be defensively aware, but is that the time you want to go hop up into the offense with your team? And as they're kind of reeling in their own end, don't really have possession, are unsettled, he's ready to go. Like, you watch him, he's ready to go up the ice.
He's ready to go again.
He's like, I'm going.
He doubles down on it.
So then you move up the ice. Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
You take your chance. The rule as a defenseman, you take a shot. You jump in on the offense. You go in. When you see that is done.
That first opportunity.
It's curtains. He's on the half wall. It's over. It's not like Goudreau has the puck or Monahan and they might be able to beat someone and you're still, you're out there with your fourth line. This play is over. Puck's bouncing. Things are wrong. Out. Get out. So he delays. Rasmus Anderson, who I haven't had many bad things to say about him, went and had a nap over on the boards. Didn't realize there was two black guys back there either.
Yeah.
It's like the seas parted and there you go. So it's just, the defensive awareness on that shift just points to clearly not where it needs to be.
And a lot of talk last night post game from the Flames room and from Jeff Ward. Felt like same old story. Puck management, especially the way the Flames took care of the puck in the neutral zone, Corey, that led to pretty much everything that ended up in the back of your net. They could not get through that 1-3-1, and some of that is obviously effort, but you got to win puck races. You can't just lull your way through a neutral zone when they're playing that way.
Two huge mistakes. Shillington, you've already mentioned, with an absolute gift away, I don't know what the heck he was thinking. I've been kind of keeping an eye on him this year, and I'm like, this great skater.
Mm-hmm.
God, he's not a very good passer. And that was at the forefront last night on that play. And Johnny Gaudreau, who I thought was fairly engaged last night, his centerman, that's another story. We can get to that later. But Johnny Gaudreau on which goal? First goal, LA.
Yeah.
He's got it. He's right got at the red line. They've already been out there for 45 seconds. Your shift is done.
Yeah.
You've got nothing left. There is no creativity there. You're being locked down in the center. Dump it in. Nope. And guess where it ends up? So those are, it's just the Flames. Those repeated mistakes that I think are very easily avoidable that keep ending up in the back of their net.
They're easily avoidable if you have the personnel who can recognize it and adapt to it.
Yep.
I don't think
exactly.
They do. Exactly. Because I think, in fairness, from the top, missing their two best defensive defensemen. I'm with you. Brody, with Gio out, has stepped up and has played probably better. But man, then you need Hanifin to take no chances. Here's the thing.
Play defense.
We scored six goals last game. We scored six goals the game before. We are without two D-men. Defense. Defense, defense, defense. That needs to be in your head all the time. Every time you hop over those boards, you're thinking defense. And on that play, like you say, he joins the rush, gets in deep.
Lingers.
Chance happens, if you want to call it a chance. Either way, that first drive to the net doesn't result in a goal. As you said, you've got to pull back. And you watch, and he starts to go back to the blue line, and then the puck goes back towards the... Ooh, and his eyes get big, and he dives back down again. But instead, it's just... Whoop, and then there's two guys standing there. So it's not just the recognition, don't pinch. Secondly, if you pinch, you better get back in a hurry. And number three, take a look-see. Because there's guys wide open. So Hanifin isn't thinking defensive enough.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. Anderson probably was not expecting, I'm not looking to give him a pass because he did kind of.
If you see your partner already gone,
you need to be that safety valve and back off.
And right in the middle of the ice.
And it was such a, and like you say, the worst part of it is it's your fourth line. This isn't, you don't have them hemmed in. This is, you just got the zone.
You just hardly got out of your zone.
Yes. And you just gave up a goal. You just gave up a goal.
Yep.
So instead of maybe, because we criticized Brody about this a couple of times earlier this season, the same thing. When your D-man's in, I mean, maybe you got to back off a little bit. But they're trying to hold the line, and then all of a sudden, well, there they go. Scores. Riddick smashes his stick over the crossbar. He's pissed off. Gives it to his team during the timeout.
Well, he had to, like, it started in the first. He had to make six incredible saves, right? I think the Kings ended with close to 12 shots or right in that neighborhood.
Crazy. And he was the only guy ready to play.
And half of them were very, very, so yeah. He had every right to be getting angry.
And that's part of it as well. Did they play well enough to win? No. On the flip side, Riddick gave you a chance to win. That's a performance from a goalie that your team should win. Regardless. He made so many saves, timely saves, kept you in it, and you still lost.
The other thing too that's it's just a theme all of a sudden here with the team is they weren't playing very good hockey in the first period. You now come out in the second. I thought it was a decent start to the second. You finally get a goal off of a nice play, a forecheck by Mangiapane, and their goalie coughs one up. Well, what about the next shift or two after that to like really make it hard on the other team and like make them think, oh, geez, we're in trouble, or, okay, things are shifting, like to keep that bit of momentum, but they just hand it back right away.
Yeah.
Like you've finally scored a goal, put some doubt in the other team's mind to maybe, and then they just, there's been a lot of goals and then getting scored on right away afterwards.
Yeah, that goal came at 11:37 of the second. And after a very, it was not a good first period. It just wasn't. Like you said, Riddick, if he's not playing extremely well, it's probably 2-0 Kings after one. But it's scoreless. You get to the second, and like you said, that line comes out, the Tkachuk, Mangiapane back in line, good pressure, have them hemmed in. Then it's Monahan's line. Then the third line comes out, bang, 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 all over them. By the 11:37 mark, pretty good first half of the period. Backlund scores off of the turnover. All right, there you go. Hardworking goal. They made a mistake. You made them pay. 44 seconds later, it's in your net. And then the 2:39. Guys, it's just... And this shouldn't be, this was not the St. Louis Blues. It's not the LA, it's the LA Kings, all due respect.
Yep.
This is Wagner, someone named Wagner from Calgary, had no idea. Was in on a breakaway from his own blue line. You just can't.
All kinds of time.
Can't give up these types of chances. And I'm not looking to end the conversation, but I don't know what Treliving does here. Because you can't be looking at a rental. There's no rental deal you make here. Tyler Toffoli, get out. You're not making a rental deal. You keep an eye on the waiver wire. You try and find defensemen. But even there, because when's Gio back? Week to week. Week to week.
Weeks to weeks.
And Hamonic.
I think so.
Right. And Hamonic is, well, you know, we're going to see how he responds to treatment today. Oh, on the IR. Oh, it's going to be a while. Yeah, weeks to weeks.
I know, but still as a... And you put those two back in, yes. You're short up defensively a bit, but they're still...
I'm just talking in terms of the reality of this situation over the next 2 months. Those guys are probably unavailable. 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
Yeah,
at this point?
I was just mid-March. You're not going to see Gio until mid-March.
Mid-March. Would be my guess.
And Hamonic, if it's soft tissue, I like... Do we know what it is? No. It could have been could be something ribbish, shoulderish, you know, upper body. I'm guessing 2 weeks for him. Maybe quicker. But I'm just kind of thinking in this area stuff happens unless you really muck something up.
The goofy oblique stuff, which can just stay with you forever. Anyway, that notwithstanding, it's just hard to you had momentum. It's been the plague of this team all season. You get a little bit of momentum going. Remember the 5-game winning streak. You guys are rolling. Then you lose to, well, now you gave 4 points back just like that. It's hard to imagine this team getting better defensively. They're just not. Not with this crew. And with, as we all kind of shake our heads, nope, don't see it. Be nice to make the playoffs? Don't know how you make much noise if you make the playoffs. You can't quit. I get that. Everybody, you got to compete in all of this. But you're not giving up a first-round pick to bring in a weapon, a Tyler Toffoli. I don't know what you do.
No, I think it's pretty clear.
In some ways, your bed's kind of made for you.
If you're doing anything, it's got to be for the long term.
Yeah,
that's it.
And I think we've heard that.
That presents itself, that's it.
We've heard that for a little while. Tree Living was not a big fan of rentals to begin with, and I think you look at this team, and yeah, there's no real sense. You know, again, we talked about it briefly yesterday, but if a team like Arizona is talking about selling Taylor Hall again, I know they're not going to. They've come out and poured cold water on that. But if that conversation's out there, well, you're pretty even with Arizona. I don't know if the Flames are in a spot where they need to be going buying assets of a team in the exact same spot as you was talking about selling one they just acquired a month ago.
And you know what? Tree Living's not, he knows.
Yes.
He's not a guy who has gone at the deadline and been like, he knows. Even last year. We'll bring in Fantenberg. What's he done? What's his deadline work been? He's not fooled.
Last year, a bit unique, though, because I think we were sitting here saying, do you touch this group, right? I mean, they were rolling.
But again, that's what I mean. Yeah. You don't go and upset the apple cart when things are good. You also don't go hoping and wishing and crossing your fingers that if you bring in some...
And one player.
One player is going to change things. So it's kind of a... It's on this group, and right now I don't see how they have the depth defensively to do it. And we are coming off a horrible night defensively. I keep jumping on you, but I mean,
they have
two, maybe three guys, depending on where you are on Michael Stone. But they have two guys that are AHLers on that blue line right now, because Shillington is not an everyday NHLer. He shouldn't be in. Yellison should play before him right now. Because like you say, he's keeping things simple. Shillington can't. He's just not equipped right now to keep things simple.
Yeah, just I think he, I don't know if he wants to or doesn't, or like I'm speechless right now because the mistakes are just so glaring. And if you're a young defenseman and you've made so many of the same types of mistakes, like horrible passes leaving your zone, and that's primarily what I see from him, and big mistakes from your passing game. It's, I don't know, like that needs to be worked on, or is that something too? It's just like he's not there,
not ready,
needs more seasoning, needs to get that out of his game.
I get taking, you're down a goal or two in the third. Yeah, we're going to have to get a little loose here.
Like, were you better off to have Davidson and Yellison in last night? I mean, this is an all after the fact thing.
It probably doesn't change the end result, but no. My answer to you is yes.
I look at the scouting report on the LA Kings. Not really scoring goals this year, but they're still working. That's the only thing I heard yesterday reading, watching, getting ready for the game, is that even though this team, you know, they've got rid of a couple of small parts so far, there's maybe more to leave. But they're still working throughout this. They're not getting goals. So when you hear that and you're going into a game like this, you know that, geez, I'm going to have to be ready to go to break the will of the other team. And yeah, we might get a couple goals, but if we don't, this team is going to be right there with us. And the Kings proved that in the first period. But the Flames decided, instead of kind of getting in a much tighter game, they wanted to play a loose kind of run and gun, and it ultimately bit you. And I just think the Kings worked harder from start to finish.
They absolutely did. They did. They deserved
it. And that was the scouting report.
And the other side is, even if you want to, because you're bang on, and I agree with you, even if you want to take all that away, this team beat you twice already. Mm-hmm. Don't sleep on these guys. You slept on them at least once or twice.
And they've
beaten you. and you need points.
So they know they can beat you.
Like, you absolutely, there was no way, shape, or form you should have come out and had that first period. And no kidding, Riddick was pissed off. He's like, guys, what are we doing? Guys, fellas, that's truly, how are we getting outshot? How are we getting outworked? How are we giving up breakaways? Why am I having to stand on my head against the LA Kings, who have scored seven goals in their last five games, all of them losses? Why are we a playoff team, air quotes? Why are we getting worked? And they did. And they'll get worked again tonight by the Ducks if they're not better.
Yeah, and again, I just think, as you're saying all of that, and what pops into my head is just way too loose defensively.
Way too loose.
And that's ultimately in their own end, neutral zone, leaving their own end, the small details. And that would, we talked about their good start in the second period, but yet I look on my notes here and Brown had the chance where Riddick had to make a great poke check. He's going to the net, almost beats him across the crease. Riddick on Iafallo right before the Flames go down and score a goal. So, yeah, he had reason to be.
Yeah, and we're hammering on the defense. Fiery. It's the defensive zone. If you watch the, I believe it's the Carter goal, the Flames get the puck on the wall.
Things are looking very.
Oh, easy.
The Flames get the puck on the wall, and Lucic sends a backhand blind pass to the middle of the ice, which is it picked off, intercepted, and then Carter's in the slot. And it's a great, you know, it's a good little shot, but there's nothing special about it. They're just moving the puck around and find little.
And Hanifin just gets a little bit of separation there, right? Because it's high in the zone, but the whole play had moved high in the zone. You got to just be a little bit tighter there if you can.
And your goalie played great, and you gave up four when he was in the net. Not quite good enough, folks. 6:25, we'll break. More. Lots of fun, right? Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Coming up this morning, a chance for you to win a $50 gift card to Fat Burger. Providing the prize the other night for our fastest skater competition in the Beer League Hockey Championship.
Where Buddy decided to do a hot lap before the competition
needed
began.
I got to get the lactic acid. You need it or you want to get rid of it? I need more or I get rid of it? I don't know what it is. Anyway, he and then didn't win. So either way. A little later on, we'll come up with some sort of a skill testing question. We'll really, really,
really
test
dig deep
you.
Today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's going to be really something. Two winners coming up today with Fat Burger. There's Corey Sarich, 6:33. How was your day yesterday? Because you had a beer league game the night before, up to do this yesterday.
Potential alumni skating the. In the wheelhouse?
There's always some alumni skater, some heavily contested badminton match.
So
something
what?
Always going on in the life of Corey.
Definitely needed to mix in a nap yesterday, so I did. Planned on it being about hour, maybe an hour and 30. Turned into 2.5.
Nice. Nothing wrong with that. Just listen to your body.
How'd you feel afterwards?
I didn't even know what planet I was on.
Yeah.
Just complete fog.
That happens probably once every 2 weeks for me, where I'll wake up from the afternoon nap and I won't know the circumstance that I'm living in. I'll have no idea. And you have to kind of, okay, what day is it? What was I doing before I laid down? Where is this nighttime? Is this daytime? Am I getting up? Am I going to sleep? You're just completely out. It's once every 14 days. It's really something.
Yesterday was my day.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll be wrong. Be like, oh, okay, yeah, it's the thing. Oh, no, wait, no. I'm an idiot. I'm a sleep-deprived idiot. Which is tough. It's tough being an idiot to begin with. Then you start mixing in some sleep deprivation.
Things escalate quickly.
I should not be driving. I should not be behind the wheel of a motor vehicle some days.
Agreed.
It's like, how am I getting home? I don't know how I'm getting home right now. Out on my feet. Kind of like the Flames defense last night.
Oh,
just no idea where am I? What now is this? Is this are we in Vancouver? Where are we? I don't know. Hoof and a way.
Goodness.
Gah. Fan feedback line is open. Will Vala Mackey be back soon?
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
God. Again, I don't see any.
Why? No,
I don't see
put
a solution being parachuted in. Although, listen, yeah, get him in if he can play. Geez, somebody get in there.
I don't think he's back anytime soon.
Nah.
Still skating on his own.
So anyway, that's the story. Somebody ripping you. Hey, Corey, the D should hook and hold and go glassing out like you, superstar. Whoa! We said off air, it's like, I'd have probably taken a few glass and outs. You know, if they want to glass it out.
Like, what if Shillington on that, he looks up, he's
on
got
that
nothing.
D to LAD.
You maybe put one to the boards. Put one into space where your team can skate onto it. Maybe not on the other team's tape. Probably not a goal against.
Yeah. I'll take it. Okay. There'd have been a couple. It'd been glass and it would have been just fine. Okay, let's try and win the draw.
Yeah, get the puck at the red line after a 45-second shift.
Last night was one of those nights where you can appreciate just watching, because average D for the Flames last night. Average defense corps.
And
yes. And seeing how big and strong Ange Kopitar is. Where he's got one hand on the stick, and he's holding off the other guy. They get to the corner. That one series where he's in the corner, and there's two Flames in there, hacking, whacking, cross-check, chip-chat, chit-chat, trying to get the puck, and he's like, no, I'm just holding it here. I'm just going to hold this here.
I'm probably good.
So good.
He's been doing it for a while,
he's
too.
Been he's been doing it forever.
He's refined his craft.
Jeez. It's like, how big and strong is this guy?
That's why a guy like that, you just... You keep him there if you're the LA Kings, and then you start to build around him again.
Mm-hmm.
He goes about it the right way. He's kind of quiet and unassuming, right? But he comes up with big plays at big times and been a pretty good leader for that team.
Well, we had good fun at Pinder's expense. Was it about 3 years ago? I'm just going to call up his numbers here. I want to remember when it was. He had the 12 goals in 76 games. He'd gotten the big contract, what, 10? Between 10 and 11? 16-17, 12 goals, 52 points in 76 games. And Pinder came out with and rubber stamped that Ange Kopitar was done. His foot speed was gone, he was slowing down, and that the Kings had made a massive mistake. The next year, he scored 35 goals. And we celebrated every goal like it was our child who had just scored their first NHL goal. We would play that one there because it was that was a Kopitar goal call. Kopitar shoots 35 times. But yeah, even
give us an update this year. What's he got?
He's got 17 in and 49 in 58. So that's the thing. If you look at
a real
him
bad team
on an awful team. If you look at. He's not going into your fantasy pool. You don't necessarily want him in your draft. He's not going to have big points for you. But if you watch the games, he's just...
He's just as good.
Just dynamite. 6'39". Let's...
Full disclosure, brought to you by Motorworks. You love your BMW. Give it the attention it deserves. Motorworks has BMW certified technicians and will beat any competitor's quotes. On 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast or Google Motorworks Calgary.
He looked fat! Okay, now what are you... Jay, what are you doing?
Alex Burles is chubby already.
You didn't say chubby.
Well.
Uh-huh.
Isn't the guy like just finished playing?
Oh.
Weren't you like just with the Sens? Am I wrong?
Well, a couple years, yeah.
Out of my way, I gotta eat.
Oh, jeez.
Been working out for 25 years.
He's probably so happy to not have to.
I don't blame the guy. I'm not hating. Like,
eat kale.
I would do that too. He's like, whoa.
Oh, yum. More kale. I didn't get a visual. So he's fat, is what you're saying. Jay DeForest is calling Alex Burrows fat.
Not shaming. I'm not saying. Mm-hmm. It just happened very quickly.
Does he look fat too? Let's...
You can say anything you want about that guy.
Looks pretty normal.
You won't hurt my feelings, Jay. You got anything else on him?
He's going to walk in here and bite me, isn't he?
Probably. He'll actually wait till you're not looking and then he'll spear you in the back of the neck with his stick. Oh, sorry, what?
His last season was 17-18.
He's an assistant coach in Laval right now.
He's going to go for a quick jog every now and
then.
I just did a
treadmill.
Google search and doesn't look all that different.
Like, you can make your own salad. And I know you don't have a guy every day giving you food, but.
Like, here he is last night cranking the can and he looks fine. I don't know.
You can make your own salad.
Jay, he doesn't look any different than he did when he
played. You're incorrect.
All right.
Anyways, last night.
Shoots and scores! Furk with a slap pass, and now Carter scores!
You know, we got to bring the same type of effort that we did in the third here, and it's the same old story. Every time we don't manage the puck well, and it ends up in the back of our net and costing us hockey games.
Too many mistakes. I think we turned the puck over and they capitalized. Yeah, obviously we made their goalie pretty good today too. I think we have a lot of shots, but a lot from the outside. So we gotta get in front and get some greasy ones in front there.
And that's Milan Lucic and Elias Lindholm. We talked about it a little bit. They just didn't get to the tough areas. And again, Calvin Peterson or whatever his name is, 35 stops.
And you are who?
Who are these people?
Guy just beat you 5-3. Calvin Peter, whatever. Yeah, I think they call him Cal. I'm sure it's short for, you know, Calvin.
It's Calvin.
Yeah.
35 stops wasn't that hard of a night for him.
It's good we can laugh.
Anyways, enough on that game, huh? How about Boston Montreal last night?
Drouin gave it away. Marchand, little dangle through the slot. Pasternak scores.
We talked about it off the air. We'll bring the conversation on the air, Corey. You guys were talking about it. Marchand, ridiculous dangle around the Montreal D-man, throws it across the ice. Pasternak, wide open net. Boom, in the net. He would add two more for a hat trick. He's got 41 on the year. Bruins beat the Habs 4-1 last night.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
I'm not saying he didn't know what he was doing. I'm saying he didn't have an actual visual.
Doesn't have to.
I'm saying he's coming up. He's got his eyes in the puck. He turns his back to the play and is like, it's probably there. I think he should be there. Could be there.
Well, he's got to realize as they're entering the zone and he's got the puck where his buddy is.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows. And the puck control on that play, to be moving at that speed, you know, entangled with another guy, and to keep the puck from, you know, being touched, being chipped and off into the corner, super impressive.
No doubt about it.
Just, yeah.
That is a one heck of a line with him, Patrice Bergeron, and David Pastrnak.
And David Pastrnak, like, he's got to be sending a few thank you cards out these days. Like, great player, good goal scorer, but I mean, look at who you're on the line with.
And not a fair question to just throw out there, but is he the best value contract in the NHL? 41 goals, $6.6 million.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Not that $10 million.
Trade for him. Go get him.
Yeah, get him.
Brody and Jankowski.
And a first, Sam Bennett, maybe throw him
in. Yeah, Sam Bennett in a fourth.
Big night in Vancouver. The Canucks honoring the Sedin twins before this one. They hosted Chicago, and it was a big night for Brandon Sutter.
Puck sent around. Sutter's after for Vancouver. Sends it down towards the empty net, and he's got it. 3-point night
for Brandon Sutter. He's got a goal and two assists, and the Canucks lead 3-0.
They would end it with that 3-0 final. Jacob Markstrom made 49 stops for the shutout. That sets the Canucks franchise record for the most saves in a shutout in the regular season in franchise history.
How are you doing?
It
feels like you're. It's kind of like when you're on a motorbike. He's got the speed wobbles going. He's trying to kind of.
Here's Markstrom.
Records don't come easy in this organization or in this league, so you know I'll take it, and you know hopefully you know somebody will beat it soon if it's me or them or the, you know you always want to play as good as possible and help the team win.
Having a pretty good year, 41 starts, .918 save percentage, and there is conversation in Vancouver about the future of Jacob Markstrom. His contract is up. They of course got a couple of guys in the minor that they feel can you know come up and take over for him. And his age, maybe he doesn't line up for the Canucks next window. I'm not sure what they do, but he's on a pretty good deal right now, $3.6 million, 30 years of age, a UFA at season's end.
It's the most important position on the ice. I would keep him.
He's just been steadily improving, too.
He's been great.
There were lots of question marks when he first came into the league, but every year I think he's kind of answered the critics and just with his play. I know... The team's been growing and getting better, too. Like, just think of the last few teams he's been on.
Yep.
They were not good.
Mm-hmm. And he's been their MVP. I don't think it's close, right? Like, if you talk to Canuck fans, they'll tell you. Markstrom's been their best guy all year.
I would think so, yeah.
So get him some support, which he's getting this year, and he's showing you what he can do. So yeah. if you're trending in that direction.
Which they are. Like, you're going to bring in Besser and Pettersson and Hughes, and Horvat is still young.
And the thing, too, that we kind of forget.
If your goaltender isn't ready, like, I don't know where they are on Thatcher Demko or whoever.
24, DiPietro's 20. And again, guys, I mean, 30 is not a death age for a goalie.
Fellas!
I don't think it's even a conversation. I think it's a pretty easy decision.
I guess it'll come down
to the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm. And term. What does he want to sign for? Is this his last big deal? If so, maybe if you're Vancouver, you don't want to hand out 5-6 years of term, but you might not have a choice.
Okay.
It's hard to let that one walk.
Give him
money.
And then and then hopefully he forgets what hand he catches with and his hand-eye coordination goes right out the window.
And maybe it's the last great season.
Perfect. Great move, guys.
Wait a minute. What?
Thank you.
I catch with my left hand?
St. Louis Blues are in Vegas tonight. They will not have Jay Bouwmeester on their blue line. He remains in hospital in Southern California. Here's Doug Armstrong yesterday with the media.
Jay Bouwmeester is doing very well at the UCI Irvine Medical Center in Anaheim. Jay is currently undergoing a battery of tests to determine the how and why of what happened last night, but things are looking very positive. Jay became unresponsive and the medical personnel used a defibrillator to revive him. Jay regained consciousness immediately and was transported directly to the UCI Irvine Medical Center.
Talked about it off the air, guys. I mean, Doug Armstrong was very quick to credit the medical staff at the Honda Center. Obviously huge in this, but Bouwmeester, again, returned to the ice, very secondary here. Battery of tests the next couple of days in hospital. And right now, anyways, the good news is all seems to be well with Jay Bouwmeester.
It's so... every situation is different for every... You know, Yuri Fisher and Rich Peverly. Everything is different. And if that's it for Jay Bouwmeester, then what a career it's been. Mm-hmm. And guy got his cup right at the end. I don't know. I think it would be hard depending on what the doctors are telling you. But I would think if there's any kind of potential risk beyond what you would normally expect, there's a risk to playing in the game. But if you feel like they've discovered something or there's anything that puts you at a greater risk than what might already be there, you have all the money in the world. You've won your championship. You've got kids. You've got everything. I think at that point in your life, in your career, that'd be a hard one to say, I got to keep playing.
Especially at his age.
Right? He's nothing to prove.
As you said, got his cup, great career. He's had the Iron Man streak. I mean...
Yeah, and you've seen guys' careers come to an end for a lot less than that.
Yeah. And it's right? unfortunate that he can't choose his ending, but
yeah, it's better than the alternative, man. If
100%.
If that's it, where you hey, got a scare, I'm blessed.
still here,
and walk away, yeah. There's worse ways to leave the game.
Yeah, and again, just back to the news and hearing Armstrong. When you're talking about cardiac episode defibrillator, that is super scary. That's not something that's common. I mean, we watched TJ Brody go down earlier this year. Very, very scary incident, and fortunate for him, it was a quick return and ultimately has turned out to be nothing. But I mean, you're talking about your ticker, and man, I wish him all the best. Being a former teammate, it hits close to home, and I know how your perspective can change. I've been through kind of a life-changing incident,
mm-hmm.
and it sure puts things into perspective in a quick hurry. And usually, first and foremost, at the front of your decision is your family. He's a guy with three small kids, wife, you know, that becomes your priority.
You know, it's the first thing that I thought of when you think about that. You don't think, oh, I wonder if his career is over. You think, God, if it's over, like, is he gone? And if so, honestly, I just remember seeing that video of him with his daughter or kids in the room, all of them wearing the jersey. It's like, God, that's the perspective, man. You would speak to it as well as anybody.
And it just kind of reiterates and turns the conversation back into, even though we're here and we're all over the Calgary Flames today, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's entertainment. Yeah. Yes, we do. We get so wrapped up in it, but comes to something like this, there's only one thing that matters, and that Jay's still here, and that he does what's best for him and his family.
Felt like almost just over a month ago, not even, we were talking about perhaps the job security for Paul Maurice, while the Winnipeg Jets decide that should not be a conversation. They signed Maurice to a multi-year extension yesterday. He's in the middle of his sixth full year with the Winnipeg Jets. They made the playoffs three times, including a run to the Western Conference Final back in 2018. You saw it on Twitter. The fans in Winnipeg, very mixed reviews on this extension. But the Winnipeg Jets, through 58 games this year, 29 wins, and they are just 1 point back of Arizona and Calgary for a playoff spot. And guys, with everything that's happened with their team, it's pretty impressive where they are right now. And Paul Maurice has done a heck of a job, especially with that blue line. So I think it's a well-deserved extension.
Until it isn't. Until they miss the playoffs.
And then
how could you... You finished first, and then you missed in the first round of the playoffs, and then you missed the play. You know what I mean? They're an extremely loyal group. Yeah. That's been demonstrated.
Yeah.
And they give this extension. I also have heard that, and he's spoken, when the Bill Peters stuff and all that came out, I thought he had a very honest kind of a session with the media and spoke about how he has changed. Not just age, not just time, but also making the conscious decision to make changes, to become more aware of how to treat players and people around you and all of that. I wonder, when you hear Paul Maurice getting an extension, this is a bit of a different Paul Maurice than maybe would have gotten an extension 3 years ago or 5 years ago.
Yep.
I think he's a bit of a changed guy from what I've heard.
22nd season as an NHL coach.
He's got to be a little exhausted after this year, though. I mean, you're put to the test at the start of the year. No one thinks you're going to be able to compete because of all the pieces you've lost. Then you've kind of, as the year's gone on, you've probably had to answer a lot of questions that are not really hockey related with the Buffalo situation. And it's probably got to be a real kind of different year. Like their last couple of years there, this is a team that's, you know, competing, expected to be in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden it's just kind of the rugs pulled out from under you. I think he's done a pretty good job. He's kept this team competitive. So, yeah.
You think you lose Tyler Myers, Buffalo, and Trouba in the same offseason. Have fun, coach. Have
not
fun.
Easy. Hitman getting four goals from Mark Kastelic. They crushed the Regina Pats last night, 8-1. They'll begin a five-game trip Saturday in Prince George. And the Raptors had their 15-game win streak ending last night in Brooklyn, 101-91, the final against the Nets. They hit the All-Star break with a record of 40-15, second best in the East behind Milwaukee. That is Full Disclosure.
Full disclosure, brought to you by MotorWorks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs and will beat any competitor's quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast or Google MotorWorks Calgary.
Quick turn here. We'll come back more on last night. The Flames, disappointing loss in LA. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
On our way towards 7, we'll have Brian Burke. Now, here's the thing. We hope we'll have Brian Burke. He was in Vancouver, is in Vancouver, was at the Sedin ceremony last night, where all of a sudden Kevin BX is a comedian.
You know how we'd all come to our first training camp in really good shape? Well, Hank never got that memo. He brought an extra 15 pounds of them instead. But he lost it. And then there's Danny. He's got a legitimate candy addiction. He eats half of his body weight in sour keys and Swedish berries every Saturday. But
listen, Bieksa, don't go trying to make us like you now. Like, don't start trying to, don't start being charming and funny and making everybody laugh and being a good, it's not how it works.
Does that irritate anybody else listening
to
that?
I don't want to hear it, right? It's like, oh, I'm funny now, and I'm a good guy, and the Sedins are great, and look at all of us. Like, here's the thing. It was a great night. Bygones be bygones. All of a sudden, there's Dave Nonis is there. Brian Burke is there. Old Gillis was there. Everybody was back.
One big happy family.
Right? And that... Trevor Linden, there was a time where it's like, oh, Linden and the Canucks management, ownership, man, rift. Bygones be bygones, bring everybody back. But it was awful to watch from if you hated that Canucks team. It's great. Congratulations. Deserving. You did a great job. It's wonderful. Well done. Hated every minute of it. Bieksa, don't be funny. Oh, and look, there's Kessler. Goof. Bobby Lou back there, just greasy. That greasy lid. As Jay says, Burrows is back all fat. Are you sure he was fat?
He looks.
I didn't
looks
see
bigger
it.
To
looks,
me.
He looks very normal.
No, he looks bigger.
I didn't watch a lot. I didn't watch any of it. I'll be honest. I didn't have the appetite or stomach to watch that. And then I hear, oh yeah, BX is got all the yucks. He should be an MC. It's like, oh, don't tell me he was funny.
Can't wait to go watch the replay of it today.
Geez. Still with you, hey?
First thing I'm doing when this show ends.
Yeah?
Such gonna lie. Get the replay and watch it.
That's good, see?
Should be awesome.
Makes you a good Flames alumni. That even now, years after your career is over, you cannot stand the Vancouver Canucks. Would they bring in like Max Lapierre and Jarkko Ruutu, maybe some Matt Cook? Bring all those guys back.
Another couple of favorites.
Right? Hey. Favorite. I'm trying to hit all the right notes for you.
thanks for the memories.
No, it was cool. I like the way they did the other jerseys, getting all those done. And then
it's been a good week for them.
Yeah. Been a pretty cool week. Deserving. 7 o'clock. We have Brian Burke, who of course, I'm sure he's talked a lot about it. He was the one who orchestrated the trade that got the Sedins there. And beyond that, I don't know that we want to get into too much of that. He would not have seen the Flames game last night, so there's not a lot there. And quite honestly, I'm not sure the old Pacific time zone.
He might not be awake.
He might be having a little snoozy poo, as he should. So we'll maybe get into Brian Burke conversation coming up. But when we come back, we'll dip a toe back into what we watched last night at Staples Center. A week... First period for the Flames. They came out scoreless thanks to their goaltender. They scored the first goal of the game and looked like maybe they were ready to get their feet on the ground and start to pull away like they did in their previous two games. But instead, they gave up two goals in 39 seconds. Their goaltender snapped his stick over the crossbar, laid into them during a TV timeout. And they would go on to lose by a score of 5-3 to the worst team in the Western Conference. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Very educational day for young Will Nault over here. He's going to hear a whole bunch of brand new tracks today.
All I hear is Fallon and Timberlake doing the Barry Gibb talk show, though.
Oh, yeah.
Dugging it up on the Barry Gibb talk show. Chest hair, I got medallions.
What a song, though. Listen to it. This was music. That's not us. That's on the song.
What year is this song?
This
got to be 70 something.
75. Woo! Now, can you find Jay the SNL Barry Gibb talk show? That's my next challenge to you, is to hear the Jimmy Fallon and Timberlake, because I almost prefer it.
I don't know where you are on the Bee Gees, but when you kind of break them apart, obviously Barry has a very interesting voice with his mm-hmm. falsetto. Then you've got some songs that are led by Robin,
mm-hmm.
right? Some older school Bee Gees when they're really young, and it's not the best.
Unlike when Barry's doing it.
No, but when you get them all together.
Right.
Right? You combine all three voices. That was something special. But you bust them out individually, and sometimes it's like, oh,
mm-hmm. No, there's no doubt about it. It's an acquired taste. It's very unique.
It's the Barry Gibb talk show. Tonight, Barry's guest song. Fox News host, Megyn Kelly. Former vice presidential candidate and Tea Party darling. And the Astros of the day. Hey. Congressman Paul Ryan. And I want to talk to you. Grammy Award winning recording artist. Oh, you think I want me to. Madonna. And as always, Barry's brother Robin.
Oh man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And then of course then they talk it is like coming in from the fan feedback line.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a great show for you tonight.
It's such a great bit. I mean, it's hit and miss with S, but when they, man, that one got me.
Let's get right to it. This is my show, and it's a no-nonsense show. I don't take any crap from anyone!
It's good to laugh.
Okay. The U.S. Senate has voted 67-33 to end debate on bipartisan tax and spend.
It's good we can laugh. Flames last night on the wrong end of a 5-3 score.
They're not laughing.
No laughs, no giggles, no nothing. As some people have texted in on the fan feedback line for Glenn Morality, it's like a relationship. You start to build trust.
Do you have any thoughts on this, Rob?
No, I don't.
You gain trust. Maybe the trust has been broken. Maybe they've done you wrong. You're like, how could you do that to me? And then they take steps in the right direction. It's like, look, you can trust me.
A teaser.
You know what it is? I'm different now. I've changed. And then they go out and do what they did last night.
Ooh.
It's like, I see now, I was just starting to trust you. And then you were pinching when you shouldn't have. You weren't winning battles. You weren't winning races to pucks. It was very loosey-goosey. And then it's in the back of your net. Even your goalie got mad at you. Even your goalie got mad at you last night.
Very angry.
Broke his stick. He was yelling at him.
Did the behind the back. I'm so mad at you.
I gotta tighten up defensively. Like, awful. At times, just awful. And other times, like we're watching the goal right now. So Gaudreau, having a tough night, stopped on a breakaway, turnover ends up in the back of his net. I thought he was okay last night in terms of effort and try. Comes out of his own zone. He's got nothing there. Gets it across to Derek Ryan. Ryan, seam pass, back door, Lindholm. Okay, well, there, that's pretty good. Pull the goalie. All right, well, geez, score again. All right, well, maybe you know, it's just, but it all comes back to the defensive play of the team. And we're beating the same drum. But to really start harping on, there are other things. Was Sean Monahan good last night? I don't think he was very good last night. You watch him on the Toffoli goal, and he's kind of in the box. He's looking around. He looks right at Anže Kopitar, gives him the old shoulder check, and then moves to the outside, moves away from the middle of the ice, and he says, okay, well, I'll take that. Skates in, gets a shot, rebound, Toffoli scores. You can see why Rittich is as frustrated as he is, because he's got the best seat in the house for all these mistakes that are being made.
And the telltale for me last night was the first period. I was like, uh-oh. You're giving up, I thought it was about 6 quality chances. So basically half the shots that he faced in the first period were extremely difficult stops. And he holds you in there. But when you come out and you have a first period like that, that is loose, it's kind of high flying with a team where it shouldn't be. After a couple of much better starts in the two previous games, come out and it was like, oh no, like this game could go either way. It starts to put doubt in your mind the first period. And after making big saves like that and get partway through the second period and now you're down 2-1. Like it was enough. It was a tipping point for Rittich. And I don't think it affected his play the rest of the way. Sorry to jump on you.
No, not at all.
I think he did a great job of channeling his anger. Like, it's not like he fell apart or melted down after that. He was seriously, I think, trying to get his team going, but had to restrain himself because he had, he was going to speak the truth. And
I don't have a problem with it. And I was chirping Cron earlier. There's some people, oh, you can't do that. You can't show about breaking your stick. It's a bad luck. Like when Carey Price was getting frustrated in Montreal and he go, oh boy, that sends a bad. No, it, you know what it shows? It shows that you care. It shows you're frustrated. And there's some things that I'll, this is not, the Flames did not, you didn't take them lightly. This is not, oh, we're shocked now at the end of this 60 minutes that we lost. No, you've already been beaten by them. You've been beaten in the same fashion. You've been outskated, outscored, the whole thing. You've been outworked. That's happened twice already this year. So you did not get caught off guard or take them lightly. This had nothing to do with Tkachuk and Doughty. That's gone. Matt Roy doesn't care about Matthew Tkachuk. McDermott doesn't care about, you know what I mean? Like, none of that. What it was is you came out and you played poorly in a game where you could have continued to build. You know where you are in the standings. You know where you are in terms of the need of points. I guess my question is, with this defense being the way it is, like, there's no safety valve now. If Sean Monahan makes a mistake, if Johnny Gaudreau or one of the forwards makes a mistake, you don't have anybody besides Riddick really back there to make solid defensive plays for you, at least not on a regular basis. Because then you're relying on Shillington, or then you're relying on Stone, or Hanifin, who's proving to be, sadly, every passing day, in need of some defensive schooling.
The combination of both last night, the forwards not being at their best defensively, mm-hmm. the defensemen not being at their best defensively, well, there's the end result.
Yeah, it's all bad combination.
Yeah, there's been the odd time when you have, say, when your regulars are in the lineup and the forwards aren't where they need to be, well, then they get bailed out by some great defense.
Yeah.
Or conversely, the defense are maybe not having a great game, but the forwards go and get them some goals or help them out. But last night was just not enough defensive detail throughout the lineup. And it ultimately bit them. Like, you can't just point the finger at the defenseman. You can't just point the finger at the four. There was a lot of just, again, loose coverage in your own end.
And the story could be a lot more depressing were Riddick not as good as he was in the first period. Because he made great saves, some really good saves in that first period. Otherwise, it could have easily been 2-0. Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's safe to say.
And a couple of really great saves and plays before the Flames get the first goal.
Yeah.
Because
they didn't
that.
Score until halfway through the second.
Brown cutting across the crease. Iafallo right in the slot. So he's got it. I don't know. I'm not gonna put words in Riddick's mouth, but when he goes over the bench, he's got to be like, are we gonna lose to these guys again?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, have we not gone through this already?
And I don't know what you
think. He's gotta be irate.
Some are criticizing the McDermott goal where he's late, gains the blue line, takes the shot.
Has a guy?
It.
There's a guy right in front of Riddick.
There is a guy, I know, but is it far enough out? Do you make that? I don't know. Is it the best goal he's ever let in? No.
Right.
But I'm not dying. That's no.
That's not.
Sorry,
that's not where the game was won or lost.
Don't get caught looking at the right hand. It's what's in the left hand that matters. They didn't play well enough from top to bottom. Your goalie played well enough for you to win that hockey game last night.
If you're pinning that goal on Dave Riddick, when. Which one had the, was, I get them all confused right now. Was it the Lucic turnover or the Shillington straight up pass to the other team that was the goal that McDermott scored? Which one was his? I got to get this sorted out.
Yeah, it was the Lucic blind backhand to the middle of the ice. I believe that was the Carter goal.
Yes. No, it was the Shillington horse pass that I put in my notes.
Very
animated.
And then Dubé Tkachuk having a dance on the boards.
Dubé
and
or not Dubé.
But I believe it's Tkachuk that's not on his side because he's over entangled with Dubé that lets McDermott walk right down
Dubé.
Dubé.
We've got to deal in Dubé today. Working the thing.
Je ne sais quoi.
Anyways, yeah. So you get a god-awful turnover. Then you've got two wingers not picking up their defenseman on the entry into the zone. He walks right down Main Street, hammers one, and no one's trying to box out the guy that's in front, jumping in front of Dave Riddick. So, deflating goal. That guy kept the Flames in the game last night.
Okay, so to your point, this you were trying to remember which one it was. This is the McDermott goal. This is... with no pressure, there's no pressure on him. There's a guy within the zone, but there's no reason for Shillington to rush this pass. Listen to the broadcaster for the LA Kings.
Oliver Shillington, pass to Novak. Kings get things organized. There's Curtis McDermott joining the play. Scores!
Oliver Shillington passed to nobody. They slowly traipse their way across the blue line.
Wingers tripping and all over each other.
They're so congested on that side of the ice. And then the pass comes across, and only then is there any kind of a defensive awareness. Oh, yeah, there could be somebody over there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Dubé is doing on that play, coming back.
Him and Tkachuk. Don't hang him out to dry. I don't know who's supposed to be on what side, but they're...
Monahan was not great. Johnny made mistakes defensively. The defense was not good enough. And if you want to try and put it on Riddick, I just think you're letting everybody off the hook. He was by far and away, it wasn't close. He was your best player last night. And you wasted a good goaltending effort again. And you lost to the last team in the West again. You've lost to Ottawa. You've lost to LA numerous times. You're not getting these points back, and they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you at the end of the season.
100%.
7:21. We'll try and get a hold of Brian Burke. We will see.
No promises.
No promises. Could be at the airport getting home. We'll see. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I'm kind of surprised you have all these lyrics nailed down. You're singing away here. I didn't know you were a Bee Gees guy.
I've got their greatest hits collection.
You do, eh?
Yeah. I think they came out with one of their very last albums in the late 90s, early 2000s. I don't know when it was. I'll look it up here.
Okay,
I picked it up. It had a couple of okay tracks.
Made
on
the
it.
Investment.
Probably would have been better this day and age where could have just bought one song for 99 cents.
That's right. Do you have the, so is that how you listen to your music? You buy, or do you subscribe on a monthly? Like
I'm a subscriber now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, not going out of my way to buy a compact disc or
no
vinyl anymore. But yeah, my old man had a huge stack and, what's the?
Because Jay,
I can see the naked lady sitting on the spoon. This album that contained Jive talking. It's not
main course.
Main course. Yes.
Corey was lamenting the fact that we probably didn't have enough breaks in order to play all of the Bee Gees songs that
we definitely don't
deserve to be played.
We just now have to start running their tracks to the end of the show. Are we allowed to do that?
Okay. So here's what's on. I think I'm just thinking off the top of my head. We have got. I mean, you can't. Staying Alive is a little on the nose, but
yeah.
Do you do the Bee Gees without Staying Alive?
I don't know.
Okay. Islands in the Stream, just because that's how we got here. We played Kenny the other day, did Island. The only reason I like it is because I think the other one is so familiar. I mean, when people hear Islands in the Stream, they go Kenny and Dolly.
Yeah.
And then you hear this one, and how could it be less masculine? Like, how could it be more feminine than when Dolly Parton is one of the people singing?
Well, didn't they manage? Didn't they write it for a duet?
Like it's not.
I don't think they were supposed to sing it. I don't know if I'd put that up there on my list. There's too many other ones. There's too many other songs to hear.
We have Tragedy in there. And what was the other one, Jay? I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what I sent away to you.
Second to last is You Should Be Dancing.
Yes.
That's got to be there, right?
Yes. Night Fever.
Okay.
If I Can't Have You.
Do you want to do... Okay, make the audibles then.
More Than a Woman?
Make the audibles. Do you want Staying Alive or is it out? Because you have, now's the time to tell Jay.
I think we should pull it.
Okay.
Everybody knows it. It's everyone's got it in their head.
Okay, gone. So now what's the ad?
Wow. No staying alive.
I don't know. It's tough. If I can't have you more than a woman or Night Fever.
Just pick one.
Let's go with Night Fever.
Okay.
Done.
And you want Islands in the Stream out? Pick one of the other ones. Because I think you want Tragedy.
Really? Yes.
I mean, come on.
Why not?
All right. So
I thought it was on the list already.
It is. So I'm saying you've got room for one more. Take out Islands in the Stream because you're not a fan. Put in another one.
Let's have...
Of those three, Night Fever is in More Than a Woman?
Sure.
All right.
Yes. Straight...
Whatever's
70s dance tunes.
Whatever's going to make you happy. As we expected, tricky getting hold of Brian Burke. He is, we anticipate somewhere between his hotel, the airport, and Toronto. So we may not get him today. Coming up a little bit later on, we have a pair of $50 gift cards to give away to Fatburger. Fatburger came on this week and took good care of us with our fastest skater competition at the Beer League Hockey Championship, so we have some winning to do in that regard. Tough, looking around the NHL, some news coming out. Tough time for defensemen. Seth Jones, we found out a couple days ago, he is out long-term, had surgery. He's in the 8-10 week, like basically done for the regular season.
Yep.
Shea Weber took a shot off the foot the other night.
And they said sprained ankle.
Weird.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean...
No.
No, right?
No.
Broken, no, your season's done.
Broken
you
foot.
You played, right? You've blocked shots.
Yeah.
You ever get an ankle sprain off of a shot block? Nope. Seems weird. And then, of course, here we've got Giordano out, Hamonic is out. And if you go around the league, and I'm sure there's others, just those were big ones that came down here in the last few days. And I guess my point being, if you think that Brad Treliving's going to be able to go out there and just kind of sneak a defenseman under somebody's nose, I don't think that's happening. Now, again, Montreal, are they going to be adding? Not likely. I think that it's all kind of coming home to roost for them. They went and did the Kovalchuk thing. They got hot for a little while, but still, with 61 points, they're 8 back of Philadelphia for the wild card.
Out of all those
seven back, I guess.
Out of everyone you just named, besides our Flames, the Seth Jones, right? Like Columbus was rolling. I think that's going to be huge minutes for them to try to replace. And he's been on a steady incline throughout his career. Good young player, plays the game the right way. Yeah, that's gonna be a big blow. I don't know how they're going to replace those minutes. I mean, their team plays a pretty consistent style with a just go out there and work hard every night attitude. So they'll fill in the gap. But again, yeah, big blow on the back end.
It is for sure for them. It's to the point you want good things to happen for the Blue Jackets. They just do it the right way. They're not getting any big time free agents. They went for it last year, upset the President's Trophy winners. You like Torts. They lose everybody. They go young. They got 70 points already. Come on, right? You just don't you feel like they're doing it the right way? But
do you think they're overachieving? Does that ever pop into your mind? Like, oh, these guys are way out of there.
Not if you watch them. Not if you watch them play. Because that's the thing. They play hard. You know what a Torts team is like.
So is a blow like Seth Jones then way less impactful than a Mark Giordano or a Hamonic going down?
I don't know,
because
man.
Of the team structure.
Maybe. Like in that respect, yeah, because we're sitting here watching this team that was thin on defensive structure to begin with, then lose two of their top defensive defensemen, and it looks like as my old man would have said, it's a dog's breakfast. It's a mess. Is what that's the translation there, in case you were wondering. but looking at Seth Jones, that's 25 minutes a night. He's averaging 25-17.
Youch.
That's got to be right up there. Who are our league leaders? Come on. Right? Hey, Will, where are you?
He's talking to...
Pull some stats.
Jason Bourne. The league leader is Thomas Chabot, averaging 26.05 a night for Ottawa. Roman Josi's at 26.02. Drew Doughty, 25.56. Chris Letang, 25.53. Then Clefbaum in Edmonton, and then Seth Jones. So he's sixth in the league in terms of average ice.
Fairly important part, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And then Zach Werenski is next at 23.44. So it's not like you can lump more on. You can't give him a whole lot more.
On two different styles of game. Zach Werenski goes about it the right way too, but not that big physical presence out there.
Do you think Torts, in not just in terms of personality, because we all change as we get older, but if you were to go in and just kind of be a fly in the wall in the Columbus dressing room and watch the way he's trying to teach the team and the lessons and all of that, X's and O's, film, all that, do you think it's changed a lot from when you played him? Or when you're a guy like that, you just demand hard work and structure. The structure would be the same?
No, he was a trendsetter as far as the details of the game. So everything was detail driven. It was the small little things, and you practice them repeatedly.
Like what?
Repeatedly. Like
sticks? Like what would
sticks, D zone coverage. What to do when there's a breakdown like on entries last night, which winger's picking up what? Who in what situation, and the communication between the wingers and the centerman, like centerman's late getting into the zone. And some of these things should just be known, but he would try to implement those situations into practice, or they would just happen over the course of like when you're doing 3-on-2s with a trailer, when you're doing all your back checking drills, when you're doing like where you should be going in different situations, back checking, just everything.
I just want to joke because I know you said the same thing, but I thought it was fun. I think it was because Warner was when he would come in and he said, when he was talking about Jim Playfair, he said it wasn't until Jim Playfair in Calgary. There were things that I still didn't know, things that I was learning from Jim. I was already on my third NHL team. And I know you said the same. It's like, I was still learning. I think just as a fan or from the outside, you kind of assume by the time you make the NHL, you know the game. You know how to play. You've played in junior. You've played your way up, maybe in the American League. You know everything there is to know. But you really don't, right? I guess it seems like a naive thing to think in the first place. But to hear guys that are 3, 4, 5 years in that are still learning how to defend is kind of amazing to me.
Yeah, and the situations that occur, it's repetition and repetition and repetition. And when you're making the same mistakes... Well, you've got to sort that out.
Mm-hmm.
But as a player, you start to make smart plays and better passes and better choices when you're under pressure. And it just becomes easier because you see it on a video. You understand and you just start to feel it as a player. Like, and the more experience you get as you play throughout your career, it happens fast at this level. So you come out of junior. Yeah, you know how to play hockey, but now it's at a different pace. Now it's with guys that are more creative. What are their tendencies? And it's not until I think, especially as a defenseman, you see so many situations that you understand kind of the ramifications of what's going to happen if I do this, what's going to happen if I do this, and your choices get better. I don't know how to, I'm kind of just talking around in circles.
No, but for you, was there, and whether maybe it was a head coach, maybe it was a D coach, who was it for you?
Craig Ramsey.
Yeah.
With the simplest of things, stick on the puck. Everywhere, why are you going into the corner to body check that guy? I like that, but you can still do it with your stick right in front of the puck and still take the body. Oh, light bulb goes off. Jeez, wow. It was amazing how many times a guy had me beat a little bit wide and he's looking for that centering pass to whoever's coming down the ice, and you put your stick right in front of the puck, which seems so simple.
It does.
But when you come in out of junior and it hasn't been a habit and everything's happening so fast, that's the last thing you're thinking about. You're like, you're so worried about the man. It changed the game for me. it got me out of a lot of sticky situations. Jim Playfair, he was sometimes so detailed. It almost went the other way a little bit for me with him, because I had him as my defensive coach here under Mike Keenan.
Yeah.
He would slow down the video frame by frame.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jim, but it doesn't happen that slow out there. So we would argue a little bit about that, but his intentions were the best. And I don't want to keep rambling on. We got together the 03-04 Lightning team, the majority of us, for the 25-year celebration of the Lightning down in Tampa a couple of seasons ago. And after sitting around having a few beers and just chatting about everyone's experience, like I hadn't really seen Brad Richardson since he went on and had the rest of his career, and Marty St. Louis and these guys that had success in other places personally. And it was unanimous who the best coach they've ever played for. And the one defining point for John Tortorella was his attention to detail. They're like, I've never had another coach that demanded it, that he sleeps at the rink, probably still is, had a mattress in the back, because it eats him alive.
Yeah.
All the little details. And he wants his players to play with the same passion that he coaches. You work hard for him. He loves you. And so to answer your original question, to be a fly on the wall, they'll be watching video and grinding it out in practice on the details, which I'm sure is the standard for most of the NHL, but it wasn't in 03-04.
I don't know that it is.
It was unheard of watching that much video. The amount of sessions we had, some days it was short, some days it was long, but there was no excuse for you to not know what was going on and not know where your errors lied.
And it's hard because every player's wired different. Warner would bitch all the time about having to watch video. Yet I think for some other guys, if they don't see it, if it's not visually presented to them in a certain way, it's hard for them to be told, shown on a whiteboard, here's the scenario, if this arises, attack it this way. If they don't see it video, they're not able to pick it up the same way.
And I'll, to your point about too much video, yes, it can be. Near the end of my career, iPads.
Yeah.
They've been in our life for a while, but you see how they're utilized now in the NHL, or a tablet of some sort. They're on the benches. They're everywhere. I was a pretty good judge of what my overall game was like. Yes, you need to look at the details inside the game, but I don't need to see all my shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And they begged me to put this app on my iPad. I remember Rob Cookson was like, I need, or maybe it was even Chips Jamie Pringle at the end of it. He's like, I need to get your iPad. We need to get this app on there. So I'll give you all your shifts so you can watch them. I'm like, yeah, I'll bring it next trip. Oh, I forgot it again this trip. Next road trip. You got it. Like, there are some things that you don't need to see. You just know when it's not good enough. And I think maybe because I was an older player and you've been in all the situations, you don't. But for a younger guy, it was a great tool for me in refining your game and in getting good at the small areas and small details, which turn out to help limit big chances.
I guess part of all of this, as we kind of maybe bring it back around to what we're watching here, a night like last night, where you get frustrated with Hanifin and you get frustrated with Shillington. So when Craig Ramsey starts teaching you, how old are you? When you're starting to pick up on some other little nuances in the game.
I'm 22. 22, yeah, 22, 23.
Noah Hanifin's 23, Oliver Shillington's 22. It's hard because you look, Hanifin's played all of these games and all. He played with men over in Europe. How don't you know? They're just so far away from being a finished product.
Mm-hmm. And again, the old adage that, and it's probably moved up a couple of years, but they always said defense are in their prime between like 28 and 34. Those were kind of the average years for a defenseman. Like when it's like, that's when a guy will really hit his stride. He'll have all the knowledge. He'll have been through everything. And that's when you'll get the best years out of him before his legs start to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
And I still tend to agree. It's probably a much sharper curve now. You can probably bump that forward a few years because of the youth that comes into this league. I hope we look back someday and Noah Hanifin. He's got all the tools. Defense is an application. Defense is wanting to go and do it and get better at it. You can just be a hard worker and get better defensively. You can't teach someone, I don't think, the gifts of offense and the reads and the natural ability. That is learned throughout a kid's, I think, youth more than anything. But you still, even you look at other, you look at other scorers, like look at David Pastrnak learning to go to the right spots and reading off his teammates, and look at the goals that he's scoring this year. He's improving offensively, but there's some God-given talent there. And yeah. you're not going to teach a grinded out defenseman how to get up the ice and score some more goals. Maybe you can teach him a few things and how to read and when to jump into the play and contribute a little more, maybe, but I think defensive application in your own end can be done by anybody. I really do. If they've got the, you can't teach a dumb hockey player how to be a smart hockey player. I've played with dumb guys. Like, you can't teach them. It's very difficult. Just to throw that out there.
But you got to be able to teach them a little bit of defensive coverage, can't you? Because I know what you're saying. I just feel like, without main name, you've been around, you talk to that guy's dumb. That's a dumb, like you say.
And I feel like a coach is good luck.
Yeah. But when it comes to offensive smarts, like street smarts, hockey smarts, two different things. I was like, can you not just, we're going to scale everything back. Don't worry about rushing the puck. Don't worry about points. I don't care if you get a point all year. You're going to be our defensive defenseman. I don't know are we looking for them in junior? Are we trying to develop them through the American League? I don't know, because it's all about skating and offense now.
Well, it's interesting. Who the Flames kind of got in as a liaison or on a program? It's Rhett Warner. He's out there helping them. I don't know how much insight or say he has right now.
Talk about dumb players.
But
barking up the wrong tree there if you're looking for smarts.
I don't know. I always ask,
I'm having fun, but you're not wrong.
Will there be the age, will the era of the defensive defenseman, will it?
Well, it's been years.
Because every team had it. And I think every team still has a couple of those guys. But they were everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's when our league lacked a lot of offense.
7:50, we'll continue on this. Other stuff from around the National Hockey League. You mentioned David Pastrnak. Yeah, he's got some smarts. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
On the air, online, on the Sportsnet mobile app, and on your smart speaker. Boomer in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We're learning a lot about Corey Sarich today.
Big Bee Gees fan.
So is this a guilty pleasure, or are you happy throwing yourself out there as a Bee Gees guy? Okay.
Good talk.
We've lost him. Yeah, he's sit down, dancing in here.
He's on the okay, Corey, that's my hand.
Get off the table. Jeez.
Do you think most people fall in either hater?
I don't know.
Lover? Is there really an in-between with the Bee Gees?
I'm not sure. But I'm glad that you're a lover, not a hater. That's great. It's time for our chat with Brian Burke.
Brian Burke, brought to you by Calypso IT, providing IT support to Calgary businesses. Thinking of switching IT providers? Ask about Calypso's 30-day worry-free transition. Visit calitso.com.
Good morning, Brian. Good to catch up with you. How are you feeling this morning?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. Corey Sarich is here as well, hanging out this morning. Watch the. We were saying it was hard to watch last night. Because it was well done, all the Canucks that the Vancouver fans have come to know and love over the years were back. It looked great, it sounded great, it was funny, and from sitting here in Calgary, we hated every minute of it.
Well, they do a good job with this kind of thing. Like, they're getting their reputation for doing this right. So it was really nice. It was fun to be part of it.
What was it like going back? I don't, because what were the, I mean, were there, what were the feelings, I guess? Hurt feelings, emotions when you left or over the last few years?
Well, I've been gone a long time. I mean, the team got sold. I got hoofed. That's how it works. So I've been gone from here since, what, 04?
Yeah.
And so it's been a while. People are really nice to me and really made me feel welcome. Got a nice round of applause when they introduced me, which, you know, you never know. You never know what they're going to think and or say or do. But it was great being back here, and these kids are phenomenal kids. The twins are unreal kids. And they're not kids anymore.
Yeah.
Unreal young men.
It was the thing I was going to mention, because I wasn't sure how you felt or what the taste was in your mouth, but to see Dave Nonis back, to see Gillis, to see you, to see, because there were, things change over years, but to let bygones be bygones, if there were hurt feelings or just emotions, it was well worth it for those two guys.
Well, there's plenty of people I don't like from different jobs and different places, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, you get invited back to salute the twins. It doesn't matter what other people think. The guy that fired me here was John McCaw. He doesn't own the team anymore. It's not the Aquilini. So, you know, I got let go a couple places, and it makes you, it pisses you off. But it's no one on the ice last night had anything to do with me getting fired or taking my job. So I was thrilled to be back. Like, I love Vancouver. I love working here. It was a great thrill to be included in that. And obviously, it's kind of a, might be a unicorn as far as the draft deal goes. I mean, these kids are kids. The twins are amazing players, amazing people. They've had great careers. And to engineer that and put it together, it was kind of fun being there.
I know you've been asked this a lot, Brian, and I know you've probably talked about it a lot, but what, you ever think what their careers would be like if they weren't drafted on the same team? What would that have looked like?
I asked Daniel that last night, and he was like, they were resigned to playing for different teams, which is, they lied through their teeth to me. And so did their agent. Like, they're like, we're not going unless we go to the same team. And I talked to J.P. Barry last night, the agent, and he said no. He said if they had been drafted separately, one twin, whoever got drafted second was probably Danny, probably Hank, because Danny was rated higher, was going to enroll at St. Mike's College in Toronto, play 2 years, and become a free agent, and then join his brother. So they were going to go through with it, which I, you know, I believed them at the time, but I wasn't sure how far they'd go through with it. They were not going to come unless they came together, and so we bought the story, we believed it, and we made the deal accordingly. We gave a horrible price tag for these guys. Like, people forget. you know, Corey. So we had the third pick. To get the fourth pick, we gave up Brian McCabe and a first. Like, Brian McCabe in his prime was a great player. He was tough. He could move the puck. He was a good kid. I hated trading him. But I really thought these kids would be special. I was right. They were.
I think it was a good move. I think you chose wisely.
Thanks, Corey.
Well, and one of my favorite things of yesterday, someone named Katie Burke tweeted out, fun fact, my dad left our birthday celebrations to make this trade. And at the time I said something like, how will you remember this decision? Fondly, it turns out, Hall of Fame return on investment. And then someone named Brian Burke replied about how the Sedins never complained. As for his kids, though, ... And then someone named Molly Burke said, yeah, did you ever forget the Sedins at the Vancouver Aquarium?
Oh, God. We left Molly at the aquarium one day, and all my kids and nieces and nephews, there were like 14 people there. My sister Andrea was there with her kids, and we left Molly at the aquarium, but I mean, so, only for a couple hours.
I was going to say, now, left at the aquarium, is that, do you get to the parking lot? Do you get halfway to the parking lot? Do you get home? Like, what's forget at the aquarium?
Well, there are two cars full of people. We got almost home, and then I think it was my ex-wife called me and said, by the way, do you guys have Molly? Because she just called me. So listen, they, my parents left me at home one time. There's ten kids in my family, and they went for ice cream. We lived in Chicago. It was a really hot night, and they went for ice cream. I was reading on my bunk bed. So me and my three brothers had two bunk beds and one tiny room. I'm reading on my bunk bed. They went for ice cream. They forgot about me. They came back. I was still reading. I didn't even know they'd left. But the birthday thing that Katie talks about is like, so Katie's birthday is June 17th. Molly's is June 19th. Father's Day is right around there. So we always do it all at once. So we went out for brunch, and it's like Father's Day and birthdays is mountains of presents. And we go to this nice place, a place called Finian's in Norwood, Mass, an Irish bar that has great spread on Sundays. And I said to the kids, I said, look, I have to keep my phone on. Normally when I was with my children, I didn't keep the phone on. But I said, I'm trying to make this deal. And I made the deal that day with Chicago to get the fourth pick. So that's why Katie's whining about it, like kids whine. God, get over it. That was 20 years ago.
I think it's great that there's not many people in the world that can hold your feet to the fire except the daughters on Twitter keep you honest. That's great.
I know. They could care less, right? But anyway, it's true. Like, we did that deal on Father's Day.
Yeah.
The draft was in Boston. The draft was in Boston a week later. And we did the deal on Father's Day. We didn't register with the league until Friday. But I got the Twins that day. I had two picks in the top four, and whoever had two picks in the top four was going to get them.
Mm-hmm. But you still weren't done. You still moved around to get, you moved, what, 4 and 2 and the first overall. You still weren't done.
Well, so the way it works, and Corey's going to fall asleep listening to this, but the way it works is we had 3, we got 4. So now we got 3 and 4. And that's not good enough. You got to have to do better than that. So then I traded 4 to Tampa for 1 on the floor. On the floor. This all happened that morning. So on the floor, I traded 4 for 1. So now I got 1 and 3. And I didn't want to go up there twice. So I traded the first pick overall to Atlanta and let them pick first. The first expansion team ever to pick number one overall. Ted Turner was there. Ted Turner was on the floor, went up on the stage. So now we got 2 and 3. And so then afterwards, the Twins wanted high numbers. They wanted like number 91 and 93, and I don't like high numbers. So I said, no, take 22 and 33. And now no one will ever wear those numbers again.
That's right.
Not here anyway.
We had Matt Stajan was in yesterday, and Corey, of course, being a defenseman who played in the West against the Sedins in their prime, still cold sweats. Corey, nothing quite like it, right? You were describing it. I guess Brian would appreciate it.
No, I was trying to put some numbers on it yesterday. Like, when a guy went out on the penalty kill against them, what are your odds of not getting scored on? And I think I put it at 50%.
Yeah, well, what's yours, Corey? I'd say maybe not getting scored.
Oh, maybe, yes.
Maybe 20%. But
come on,
okay.
Brian.
No, I
got hit by a few pucks.
They're special. They were special players. They're special kids. Like, this was so much fun being here and being part of this, because these kids, there will never be a situation like this again. Identical twins are never going to come into our league and score 1,000 points. I'll bet you whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. And you could chase them and that wouldn't work. You could stand still and that wouldn't work. You could try and hit them and you probably couldn't catch them. You could try and intimidate them, but they're probably stronger and more sturdy than you realize when you got there. It's just you underestimated them until the point you realized these guys are some of the best in the game.
You know what? The other thing is they tormented me. Hang on, the phone's ringing in my hotel room. I have no idea what that is, but...
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to pick it up and hang it down anyway.
Well, they'll phone
me. I don't know who's calling me.
Take it.
You guys hear that? No, yeah. I'm not going to take it. So they're 6'2". And people think they're small because they got knocked down a lot when they were young. But they're 6'2". They're big kids. They're my height. And they're, once they filled out, they were pretty hard to knock off the puck. And they didn't care about the physical abuse. It never bothered them.
Brian, do you see any...
Cross-check them, punch them, hit them. They could care less.
Do you see any similarities with... I know there was two of them before, but now the Canucks have a new young kid in their lineup... Pettersson, do you see any similarities between him and the Twins?
Yeah, I do. He's 6'2". He's faster than they are, though. He's got some really good foot speed. But Pedersen's 6'2", but he's slight, just like these kids were. So you go back to their draft year, the World Juniors were in Winnipeg. And they finished second and third in the tournament in scoring. But they were they got all their points against lesser teams, against Canada and the U.S., against the two teams that counted. They didn't do much. And I remember leaving the tournament. It was minus 40 the whole time we were in Winnipeg. I remember leaving the tournament and telling our scouts, you know, I'm trading the pick. I'm not picking. So
then what changed? What changed for you?
They were named to the world championship team.
Yeah.
That's what changed it.
And then they proved everything you needed to see there. Yeah, it's
They were amazing.
Well, we appreciate it. I know it was a short night for you, but we got in a few digs about your daughters, and we got to hear some stories, so it was all worth it in the end.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Brian.
Take care.
Brian Burke, brought to you by Calypso IT, providing IT support to Calgary businesses. Thinking of switching IT providers? Ask about Calypso's 30-day worry-free transition. Visit calitso.com.
It was so great because it was all during the ceremony and all of this. It's like, yeah, my dad left my birthday party to go and make a Sedin trade. Oh, grumpy old Brian takes to the Twitter. Yeah, did you ever forget them at the Vancouver Aquarium? All due respect to Brian, being left in the bunk bed at home, a little different than...
Yeah.
I mean, you're at home. You're in your bed just reading a book. You're not wandering around the aquarium looking... Dad? Can happen. He did see how he tried to negotiate and kind of explain his way out of it? You're not buying that. You left your kid at the aquarium.
No.
Yeah. Guilty. 8:06. We will come back. Iconic moment qualifier from last night, and yeah, we'll get into it. For those that have been in and out on the show this morning, we'll rehash. We'll go back. Disappointing game. No other way to put it. 2 points. Flames never deserved them last night at Staples Center. Sportsnet 960, the Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960, the Fan.
Never stay out of the way. I've never seen a grown man this happy to listen to the Bee Gees and just singing away. It is 8:11. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Boomer in the Morning in the Basement Systems downtown studios. That's Corey Sarich right there. Sarich.
Yeah, it's got to be Sarich.
Can't mess Loving that one up. Every
I said
minute.
I'm not offended. I don't care. I don't care what you say.
I know you don't care.
Did Corey spend a lot of time at the roller rink back in the day?
Didn't have one.
No. Small towns. So that was about big city stuff. Roller rinks. No chance.
No, didn't have one.
No chance.
I've been to Lloyd's.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, you've been to we've all been to Lloyd's.
The guy that skates around that still has the pack of smokes rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve, and he's got all the moves and he buzzes around. You think he's going to mow down kids, but he somehow evades all of them.
Do you think that'll ever come back? Will that ever be a thing again? Or is that just one of those things that was...
Lloyd's is dust now, right?
It is gone, yeah.
It's gone.
Just the entire roller rink thing. Or is it now just bowling? Has bowling kind of taken over that whole tunes and good times, that sort of thing? Bowling should be bigger, right?
I love bowling.
When's the last time you've gone bowling? You should go bowling. You want to go bowling? Let's go bowling.
I've been bowling recently.
You've been bowling?
Yeah.
Bowl.
Little 5-pin over Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think I went in the fall for something as well.
Sorry I asked. 8:12. if the type of deal, and we're going to move on, because we talked about the Sedins yesterday, and but if you were to pull off that sort of a deal now, top 1, 2, 3, 4 picks get traded at the draft, it's a huge deal. Some team makes a trade that they get 2 picks in the top 3. That's, the internet would blow up. So again, they had 4, got 1, traded, get 2, moved down to 2 and 3, that sort of thing. So the question I have here for you, it's a trivia question. And up for grabs, a $50 gift card to Fatburger.
You making the folks work hard today, Boom?
No. Patrick Steffen went at 1. Then Berkey and Vancouver took the Sedins at 2 to 3. They originally had the 4 pick. Who picked at 4? And who did they select? So it's a little bit of work. But if you know, you know. Text in the team and the player who was selected with the original pick at 4 that belonged to Vancouver. And we'll hook you up with a gift card over to Fatburger, who were the sponsors of our fastest skater competition on Tuesday.
Must have been a tremendous career at 4.
You would think. It was a steep dive. Number 1, didn't really work out.
No.
Number 2, Daniel Sedin, 1,306 games. Henrik, 1,330 career NHL games.
Both guys, over 1,000 points.
At 4, 78 games.
Oh,
and geez. The question is, how did he get 78? Probably deserved about 8.
He had 8 his first year.
Probably deserved about 8. The answer is Pavel Brendl, former Calgary Hitman sniper.
God, was
selected by the New York Rangers.
Ridiculous numbers in junior.
There you go. So I'll go through and grab. We've got some right answers. I'll grab a couple here in the next few minutes. Last night, the Flames go into Los Angeles, coming off of a convincing win over San Jose, coming off of a convincing win over Vancouver. Now, you can say what you want. Well, Vancouver was coming off a road trip in San Jose. They played well enough to win.
Took care of business.
You play who is on your schedule. You don't call up Bettman and, well, these teams are pretty soft. These teams, you play what is in front of you, and you adapt and prepare accordingly. And the Flames went into L.A. last night after a day off on a winning streak, should be feeling good about themselves against a team who has upended them already twice this year. You already got worked pretty good in that building before Christmas. And you came out and your first period was dreadful. You were outshot to the tune of 13-8. You get to the second, you start to get some momentum, you score the first goal of the game. And then within a matter of seconds, 44 seconds after you take a 1-0 lead, you turn over a puck, it's in your net. You make another mistake, it's in your net. It's now 2-1. And you will not lead in the game again. A disappointing effort. And I don't know. We've talked a lot about, are we letting some other people off the hook here just by looking at the defense and the poor defensive coverage? Because at the same time, their goalie played pretty well. They had a 5-on-3 for a minute. That's not Oliver Shillington and Yellison is not factoring into a minute three worth of 5-on-3 where you got outworked on a shorthanded team 5-on-3.
Where you should have a clear advantage numbers-wise.
Yeah, we're getting to pucks and forcing you to make quick decisions.
The whole thing just had a sprinkling of not good enough all over it, from the defensive zone coverage, which we've talked about a lot today, to not capitalizing on your opportunities like the 5-on-3. Goudreau had a breakaway last night. Correct.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Monahan, a couple of chances right in the slot.
Dubé had back to back chances.
Mangiapane
had that chance.
Him and Dubé had chances on the power play there late in the game. Goudreau had kind of walked out of the corner on his own early. So credit to LA's goaltender. He made the saves he needed to make. I don't think he was otherworldly. I don't think he was bad. He was just solid. He made the saves he was supposed to make. But yeah, just everything. Like, there was, on all the Flames goals against, there was kind of a glaring mistake, but then there was other missed assignments, and there were guys around-ish.
And a lot of it was neutral zone kind of centered. I mean, you make a mistake at crucial. That's the other thing, too, that maybe they're more glaring, because a lot of those mistakes last night, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of them were at very crucial points or important points on the ice. You can't turn the puck over in the areas the Flames did, because as a result, you get odd man rushes or you get the Wagner breakaway. That entire play was a complete and utter grenade for the Flames. They could not control it, and you had guys pinching for no reason that led to a, you know, three-zone breakaway. I mean, you can't... Okay, it's fine if you turn the puck over, but you can't be doing it in the points on the ice that the Flames did last night.
Yeah, and then I look at the goal, the first goal, where Johnny has it out at the red line and just tries to squeeze too much out of it. You've already been on the ice for a full shift, so now you've got to be feeling a little bit tired. The last thing you need to do is go on your end and defend. So put the puck deep, get off the ice, get some fresh legs out there, but no, you end up in your own end, and then coverage suffers because you've got five tired guys. I'd have to rewind it to look and see how long the defensemen have been out there, but the three forwards who didn't really help in the coverage, and everyone's heads were kind of spinning because the Kings did a nice job of pressing right at that moment. You know, it's just, that's easily avoidable, and that's knowing the situation. That's situational play. Put the puck deep, nothing happens there.
It also, it's, and I don't disagree, but I guess just to play the other side, it's kind of easy to cherry pick when Johnny makes a play and it doesn't go well. Because a very similar play, I thought, as he was coming in, was kind of having a hard time fumbling it around, pushes it, gets into the offensive zone. It's like, just dump it in and get off, get a change. But instead, he manages to get that backhand pass through to Ryan, who finds Lindholm backdoor, and they score.
And is that's the end of a shift, too?
So, well, he wasn't on that line, right? He was still playing with the Monahan line. I think he was still out at the end of a shift. Now, again, it could, but either way, that just felt like a, you're covered, just get it in. Get it in.
No, like,
safe plays, and then they score. So I know it's easy to pick on the guy.
There was a comment,
but he sees it to try and stifle his creativity and skill. I don't know if that's the answer either. You got to be smart. I get it, and it's situational. But he makes things happen at the same time where not every player can.
I agree, but I disagree on the first goal. The whole LA Kings team is back. I think every single black jersey is almost at the red line or on the other side of the red line. And you've had a 30 to 45 second shift. There's not quite the opportunity there. And I don't want to take away his creativity. There's a comment that came in this morning. When does structure and attention to detail get in the road of creativity? It's a hard thing. I struggle with it right now as an Adam coach. Mm-hmm. I don't want to squash my kids. Mm-hmm. They need some structure. You want them to understand situations of the game. I don't want them just to be banking it out off the boards and dumping it in. I want them to go and play hockey and learn and figure things out. But you leave that up to the professional to read the situation. And yeah, so I'm a little bit of both. I just thought on the first, especially the first goal for the Kings, you just got a one goal lead.
Yeah.
String together a couple of really great shifts and steal the momentum. Don't just gift it back to them right away. And that's what kind of sticks with me and really bothers me.
And that's where I have the most frustration with Gaudreau. I'd rather you be consistent all game than have one or two great plays and have the rest be a bunch of blunders. Or, you know, the frustration, I think, stems so highly because you have nights where he was playing San Jose, he was back checking, he was coming back, lifting sticks, he was all over the ice. And then he dogs it on a couple of the shifts like you saw last night in LA. And that's where the frustration just almost boils over for me, because
I think
you can see how great he is.
I think you've made your mind up, though. I think he's in an unwinnable situation with you and with a lot of the fans, because I don't think he was as bad defensively. Like, he turned that puck over.
Yeah, and there's a lot that has to happen before the puck goes in the net.
Like, I still think he was backtracking. It just, it didn't bite him Insano, it bit him last night on that one play. I just think, and I'm not criticizing you, because I think that there's a lot of people that Johnny's an interesting case study now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a time, and we've talked about this on and off air, where I think if the notion of trading Johnny Gaudreau, be like, what? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I feel like people are just waiting for it now. People are already prepared and kind of accepting of the fact that, whether they make the playoffs or not, they're not going to win the Stanley Cup probably, and then they're going to get to the offseason and Treliving will trade him.
I brought it up off the air, though. I mean, you look at the Flames' top line, then you look at what the Boston guys did last night. Like, is it even the same level? Like, is it even close?
Well, there are...
You know what I mean, though? Like,
you're talking about the best line in the game.
Yeah, but we were not calling that about Lindholm, Gaudreau, and Monahan a year ago.
I know.
You can't have it both ways.
But clearly by now, if we're hanging on last year, that's a fool's errand.
Well, for sure it is. But I'm just saying.
But that line
has been in that conversation before, so now it's just not even close.
Well, I don't think you can go and say you're not David Pastrnak, so you're no good.
No, I'm not saying
you're
that.
Not the best line in hockey.
I'm not saying that.
So
I'm just saying how
they
far
deserve
they've
to be heavily criticized. I don't know. Do you really think they were that good last year, or are they being played different? Like, what happened? I can't explain it.
I can't either.
I can't explain it. It's been a huge mountaintop to nearly the bottom of the riverbed, kind of a tumble. I don't know how you do it, but I don't know that the answer is comparing them to Boston's top line.
Take any top line in the league, then. Where would you stack them right now?
There you go. That's the argument.
I just happen to bring up the best team in the league, yeah. But put them up against any top line right now in the National Hockey League.
That's the argument to have. Because you're right. You could probably start in the Western Conference and go around and take a look. It's not Edmonton. It's not Colorado. You start getting into your LAs and that, but you just, I mean.
Yeah, we knock Edmonton all the time. Oh, you got McDavid, Draisaitl, then nobody else. Well, guess what?
You got them.
Those two guys, pretty darn good. The one guy leads the league by 8 points, and his name is not Connor McDavid. Pretty good.
We've had the conversation here for a month. When you talk in duos, who are the Flames duo? Is it Monahan and Gaudreau, or is it Tkachuk, Lindholm?
And when they're playing together. And therein lies the problem. We're still having the conversation.
So how can it be, if they're not the undisputed number one on your team?
Right. Then you're having a real big problem.
Yeah, and that's been it. And it boils down to consistency this year, maybe application. I don't know.
And that's usually why a team can struggles with consistency, because your top guys are all over the map.
Hand in hand. They do go hand in hand. I would agree with that.
And I'm not saying he's doing it, but at the end of the night, staff will come in, they'll drop some of those game sheets off as they're taking off their gear and throwing stuff into the bag. And so let's see what was the thing here tonight. Event summary, Johnny Gaudreau. I played 23:48, 5 shots on net, got 2 points. I got 5 in my last 3. Am I playing poorly? You tell me. And I'm not saying he's selfish. I'm just saying there's so many ways to look at it. And if you're a player, who's owning that loss last night? Is it Riddick? He probably doesn't feel like he cost them the game.
I didn't think Gaudreau was that bad last night. Like, I thought he was. I thought he generally was putting forth more effort than we've. The 2 games before it, I thought he was fine.
I had a hard time with Monahan last night. I just didn't.
But comparing to the 3 games that were at home on the homestand, Gaudreau was way ahead of his efforts there
mm-hmm.
last night.
Yeah, for sure.
The points, you look at the points. Lindholm's goal, not pretty, but he picks up an assist. The other one, they make some nice passes. It's fortunate the D-man makes a nice play and actually pokes the puck off the stick of the Flames, and it comes to them, and they take advantage of it, and they make it happen.
It was another one of those nights where if you kind of focused on Gaudreau, teams just go at him now. The fear factor of him making you look silly, it's gone, right? It's been gone for a long time.
And is that because they know they can intimidate him?
I don't know. I just think either there's not enough around him, or they just know, pressure him. Don't sit back and give him the space, because that's the gift he needs. Go at him. be physical, get your stick in there, because the Kings did that a lot last night.
Yeah, and if you're watching tape from last year, if we're going to rewind and look, what happened? How many times at the start of that season and halfway through was he flying up the ice and just abusing teams with
his
speed?
Well, that's what I mean, right?
Yeah, so
D-man looking silly.
You get keen to that. You make a few adjustments. The whole league is smart about it. Well, then it's up to him to adapt and find other ways,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe it takes a whole season.
And the other problem is the center on that line isn't a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He's a finisher.
Monahan's a finisher. So it's not as though Johnny can get the blue line or get into some trouble and then have someone else. That's why Lindholm almost has to be there, because you need somebody else who's reliable defensively or able to
It's why it's worked so well with him on that line.
Yeah.
The best or better than anybody else we've seen on that line for an extended period, because they need that extra force. And we talked about the bump back and the power play zone entries. Well, Gaudreau takes it in because you can't necessarily have Monahan doing that. And Lindholm's a guy that just kind of stays in the right position all the time, and he's not a guy who's going to, you know, stick handle through four guys. So, you know, it's kind of like the Lucic conversation. It's the only option they really have on that bump back. If you're going to do that bump back, you're going to give it to 13.
And at the end of the day, Bill, you nailed it. How can you, and with a coach, it's about trust. I need to trust the guys that I'm putting out there. And then you put them out, and it's like, well, where you let me down.
Mm-hmm.
One night you look at Monahan and Gaudreau and they're a force. Very good line. Have a great night. And then the next night it's where'd you guys go? Now we're shifting and adapting on the fly, and we're having to change things because you guys aren't feeling it tonight.
We didn't really talk about them in the first two games of the trip because they were great. And look at the result. 6-2, 6-2. Win-win. When they're going, the team goes.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
And because they've had a very up and down year, the Flames have had a very up and down year. And the reason they're minus 14 in goal differential, because their top guys are having trouble staying ahead of it. They're all in the negatives. All of them.
Iconic moment qualifier, what you want to talk about, all coming up in the next 30 minutes. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Come on.
What are you doing, Eddie, man? I'm not sure what he's saying. Dancing. Yeah.
I like when staging was in yesterday. It's like, yeah, sometimes Sarge would just break into song. You don't say.
Gotta look up the lyrics. What's he saying?
Last night, during Flames warm-up, Pat Steinberg had the latest iconic moment. Los Angeles was one of six cities awarded a new franchise in 1966. June 67, the Kings would have the pleasure of selecting first overall in the expansion draft. The question was, what future Hall of Famer did the Kings select with that first overall pick in the expansion draft? The answer, Terry Sawchuk from the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's the answer. It was provided to us by Kevin Leung. Kevin, the latest qualifier in our Iconic Moment contest.
The Iconic Moment for Iconic Electric and Controls, promoting a culture of quality since 2008. Visit iconicec.ca.
Deep lyrics.
No idea.
What you doing on your back?
What'd you find out?
What you doing on your back?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's not enough. We need something else at the end of the line. How about it? Ah. Yeah, that'll work. Do I need to write it down? Or, well, yeah, you better write it down. I might forget. How do they spell it? Y-A-H or A-A-H?
A-A-H.
A-A-H.
But there is a Y-E-A-H in
oh.
there, too.
Oh, there's a yeah and an ah. Whoa.
Ah.
Great lyrics.
Any hoofs?
Or a
way. Or a way.
Poof.
Weh.
Hoof.
Weh. Weh. Hoof.
Weh.
Weh.
Worth mentioning, forgot to throw out there. We have our winners. Fat Burger. Two $50 gift cards. One for Shane Moore. One for Scott Sims. Both came through with the correct answer. The question was, Vancouver dealt their fourth overall pick to move up, eventually getting both Daniel and Henrik Sedin. Who ended up in the four spot, and who did they take? The answer?
I saw someone text it in. Sam Bennett.
No. This was...
He was fourth overall, though.
How old would he have been in that draft?
What year?
99.
It would have been five, maybe?
Pavel Brendl was selected by the New York Rangers at four. That gets a hoof and a weh. That's the woof. Heh. Weh. Hoof. Hoof. Weh. He played 78 games, 11 goals, 22.
Oh, weh.
I don't know what the pop is in there.
God.
Such a random montage. Yeah, there was no... if there was a redraft, safe to say the Sedins would have gone 1-2.
It'll be...
This came out of Dustin Brown's mouth one time at a press conference, and Pat and I were like, what?
So tonight, we've not spent a lot of time on it, but tonight it'll be the Ducks and the Flames. We get another one tonight.
What?
Yeah.
It's going to be a 7 o'clock start, no?
No, it's 8 o'clock, Bill. We wondered about... Quack! The goaltending. Well, maybe if Riddick isn't busy, you know, maybe he plays both. He seemed to be pretty busy. And I think emotionally scarred based on the broken sticks and screaming... matches on the bench.
You feel like it's Cam Talbot's night?
Probably going to be Cam Talbot's
You leave
night.
Riddick in there, he's liable to chop one of his own D-men.
The Ducks have allowed a power play goal in each of their last five games. We're not including the game the other night. They were the team playing St. Louis when Jay Bouwmeester had his cardiac issue on the bench. So we're not going to count that game. So in essence, the Ducks have been sitting at home since Sunday. Their last game was on the weekend. Like in Buffalo. So they are well home, well rested, and ready to go tonight. And you'd have picked them to be the more difficult of the two, I would think, if you were coming in. The Kings had one win in their last 10 games.
Yep. Slump busters.
Yeah. So here you are, playing the Ducks in the second game of a back-to-back, coming off a loss in Anaheim.
Does Bennett get back in tonight?
It don't matter. Sure, go ahead. Do whatever you want. You can flirt around the edges. The guys need to be better. And when I say the guys, I don't mean the team. I just mean the guys. Guys gotta be better. Hanifin has to be better. Be smarter. Be more. And again, what are you gonna? Do you bring Brandon Davidson in? Yellison didn't cost you anything last night.
No, he was super solid.
If anything, you'd take Shillington out for that. Well, you were kind of joking off. You're giving me the emphatic nod. Maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe they realize that they can't.
You've got
to do it again.
You've got your bottom pairing has to be solid defensively. Yes, Shillington might have some offensive upside, but we don't need that right now. That's not going to come into play in your role right now and in your minutes. It might later in your career. It might, if the team was like really rolling and wasn't in a time where it needs to get points, and now just give me the best defensive combo on that last set. I don't know what it is. Coach, figure it out.
If they come out tonight and they really limit chances, play well defensively, but get fewer offensive opportunities and still lose, you're going to have to take that pill. We didn't win, but at least we weren't giving up, hemorrhaging chances over and over again. Because I think if you go back and watch that first period, Riddick was terrific. And then was great in the first 10 minutes before they scored to make it 1-0. Like you said, there was Dustin Brown. He's probably going to tuck that in back door as he goes through the crease. Iafallo had a great chance. There were any number. It could have been 2 or 3 nothing easy. I think that's very safe to say before the Flames even get on board.
And I don't know. We used to focus around you only give up 2 goals, you got a chance to win. You give up 3, you got a chance to get a point. You get anywhere north of that, well, then she's a crapshoot. I don't know if that still stands. I don't know if those numbers have been bumped up a little bit. But again,
you scored 3.
3 would have got you a point.
3 would have got you a point. We'll take our final break here. What you want to talk about, you can get in on 960-960 from your mobile phone. Big 9 o'clock coming, Bill.
Big 9.
Looking forward to it.
Derek Wills, Justin Bourne. Game in a minute. And I might play some clips from because we're not going to have enough time. But the Houston Astros just held a legendary press conference.
Really?
Like, we're talking stuff of legends here.
What's been up with them?
Some sign stealing something.
What?
Cheaters?
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Are you happy? This is good. This has put you in a very good spot for the rest of your day, Corey Sarich. Sarge. It's a weird realization. I would not have pegged you to be a Bee Gees guy, but here we are.
I'm generally just a fan of music. Most of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things I'd
But you don't like Springsteen.
No.
That's pretty good. 8:54.
Does this song not sound like it should have been on? It must be on some soundtrack from the 80s. Some horrible adventure movie.
Yeah, well, it feels like it should be the theme song to some one-hour, like, action drama. Some guy's driving a sports car. He's a private investigator. So, yes, I'm guessing the answer is yes. I'm just going to throw this out, controversy. Huge, we're happy the Battle of Alberta's back, but the Oilers are looking to screw the Flames. I don't know if you've noticed.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
James Neal put in the IR.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Because he hurt himself in that one game. The first game against the Flames. Yep. And
didn't play against St. Louis on the Friday. Didn't play here on the rematch Saturday.
Whatever they're calling the injury. It's like, well, it didn't look like it was. Didn't look like he was in. He's got 19 goals. Now remember, if he scores 21... And if the 21 or whatever he ends up scoring is 10 more than Lucic, the Flames will get a third round pick. Are they just shutting him down? It's like, you have no bearing on whether we win or lose.
We want you in the playoffs.
Lucic is scoring a little bit. How about you just sit down? Because where's Lucic at? 7?
Yeah.
Lucic gets a couple more. Save that third round pick. I'm calling the fix is in. I don't think James Neal is hurt. The Battle of Alberta has moved into the executive suite.
Wow. It's an early shutdown, too.
Well, of course.
It's a totally I soft tissue. Come on. If I'm true living, I want x-rays. I want full. You come see our doctors. Let's get a look.
Is this a commonly done thing?
This is fairly rare.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it now, the, now it goes into this realm of you. We've seen it done with bonuses and different things like that. Through, oh yeah, guy needs one more goal to get a $200,000 bonus. Let's just
like if James Neal is at 20, and they've got 3 games left.
Yeah.
And their playoffs live life is pretty much set. And even let's be honest, what bearing does he have on the Oilers' success or failure?
I think his mail-in began November 1st. He's had 11. He had 11 goals in October.
But the problem is, you put him with McDavid, and they'll go in off of his feet, and then he gets, and then it costs you a third-round pick.
Kind of, it kind of inflates your stats. Those two.
You think he's getting shut down?
I'm just saying. Zach Kassian has more points than he does.
Hey. Are you really missing him with Yamamoto coming in? And,
you're not.
14 points in 15
Kaler's
games?
Kaler's lighting it up.
Archibald's got 7 goals. Chiasson's up to 8. The guys are playing up, but they're playing well. Hey, James. Hit the pine. Yeah, but I want to... No. He'll get to 20 because 20's a number. That would matter to him. I'm a 20-goal guy. Look at this. Every year but the year I was in Calgary, I scored 20. He'll get to 20, or he won't play again. 50 games. Screwing the Flames out of a pick.
Unbelievable.
You watch.
The conspiracy theory has been formed.
There it is.
It's out there.
Let's do tomorrow is Valentine's Day, men. Do not sleep on it today. If there's any card shopping, gift shopping, things that need to be done, you are on notice. And I'm doing this for all of us. I'm not saying I'm better. This is for me as much as anybody else. It's being verbalized, so we do not forget that tomorrow is the 14th. Today is a day to get some stuff done.
Get it done! Put some Bee Gees on in the background and get it
done.
Oh,
yeah. Let's do the thing, Jay, that we do. This is the thing we do.
What are you talking about?
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. As the 4x4 winter sales event continues, get up to 30% off the Red Hot Ram 1500. Also, savings and discounts up to $20,000, and don't pay for 90 days. VarsityChrysler.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Happy Radio Day. I remember where I was when you butt-dialed Rob Kerr with Jan Arden. That was absolutely your finest hour. Thank you.
Ooh.
Shutting off the show, listening to the Bee Gees for the rest of the day. Of course you will. Apple Music, the Bee Gees downloads will spike today. It's World Radio Day today, Boomer. If no one has thanked you yet for your amazing personality and what you bring every day... Then let me be the first. Thank you for your honesty, joy, and passion you bring every
day. We are currently experiencing technical difficulties. Please do not adjust your set. We will rejoin your regularly scheduled program momentarily. By the way, you're looking particularly good today.
Boomer, can you phone Sarge's voicemail so we can confirm whose phone it belongs?
Hi, you've reached Corey's phone.
Yeah, we called you. Didn't answer. So it said, hi, you've reached Corey's phone. Good to know it's your phone.
Hi, you've reached Corey's phone.
Was my message short and to the point?
Oh, I can.
Whoa.
Great artist of the day. Got my fat ass up and shuffling around my kitchen. Have to say, sick moves. Good job. That's what we're doing. Get up, get moving. The Bee Gees. They'll do it to you.
Any update on the hot AF wing? Yeah, I was there last night. We had 4 ghost wings. Downtown location. It was a lot of fun. A lot of tears and some snot bubbles. Hot wings. Dominate.
Wow.
Can't wait to see this stuff in action.
I broke my leg and can't drive. What can I do for Valentine's? How do I even get a card? I don't know.
Just skip the dishes and give them a big tip, right?
Get a red pen and start decorating your cast. And put like an arrow pointing north. Be like, hey, you want a gift? Can you ask Wills how he likes leving in Cochrane?
Oh, jeez. What a beating.
It's just so insane. I mean, jeez. If Riddick is pronounced Riddick, shouldn't Saric be pronounced Saric? Yeah, Corey.
He's Czech, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
What are you?
Canadian.
Donkey.
Oh, that's funny.
Four coaches in 3 years, and we're still wondering what is wrong. Yeah, it's the coach's fault, all right. Or is that what he's saying?
I think that's what the guy. Yeah.
Oh, I
think,
see.
Yeah.
Not the coach.
Oh.
Because you've tried lots of coaches.
Oh, so you're saying, oh, okay. So he wants to change the coach, or does he want to keep the coach? Does he like the coach? Pass. Kirsch is hanging around in the next room.
He's got something.
What do you think he wants? Like, what do you think? Gonna be? How's the egg? What's it gonna be?
Hanging.
What's it gonna be? Well, the thing is, if we keep him hanging, then we keep Wills hanging. And
how's the egg? Was that your Kirsch impression just now?
The egg. Like, what do you think it is?
Yeah, have a guess, Corey. What is it? He's got his phone in his hand too, so it's very, very important.
Because he's not coming.
Is there a calendar
by
about to pop up? Yeah, we're gonna have to.
Yeah,
Corey, if you could.
Julie's coming to town. Are you coming for pizza?
Yeah,
success factors.
Is Connor's
objective
diarrhea spilling over into next week?
Rogers HR, go there and
the morning shows have been asked to hang around on the 26th.
Yeah, Cron can't get off the toilet.
Yeah.
Your step. That'd be great.
You throw it a break. Yeah, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. As the 4x4 winter sales event continues, get up to 30% off the Red Hot Ram 1500. Also, savings and discounts up to $20,000. And don't pay for 90 days. VarsityChrysler.com.